so we're just going to start off with Away in a Manger, and then you guys have Silent Night. We're just going to do two songs to start, and then we'll kind of jump into what we have to share with you guys today. Since we have, well, maybe not lots of babies in the room, but we know that there's lots of babies in our mom's group. So, and we know that there's no more silent nights, especially for me and Melanie, right? So.
It's Christmas, and we want to bring glory to the Lord and just remember his birthday and all the things that he does for us. So we'll just start with prayer. I just thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for this whole month that we totally focus on you and just think about your life and coming and even your death and resurrection. We thank you for being our God and our Savior, and we pray that you would just be with us today, and we just thank you for being with us every day. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we're going to read The Shepherds Visit Jesus. And they were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be here for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared, and the angel praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who were lying in the manger. When they had seen them, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about the child. And all who had heard were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured all of these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And I was thinking about that. I was kind of pondering that when I was listening to it. And I thought, you know, when Jesus' birth was announced to the shepherds in the field, I'm sure that they were just elated. I mean, just, can you imagine having the angels there and telling you those things? And they said in John 1:3-6, the shepherds to greet the Lamb of God, and they knew who he was. He would take away the sins of the world forever. The shepherds were terrified, but they turned and they were joyous. And when the angels announced the Messiah's birth, the greatest event in history had just happened. The Messiah had been born. Jesus had, so we had waited for this. They had waited for this. When it finally happened, the announcement came to the humble shepherds. He's come to anyone with a humble heart enough to accept him. He could have come in glory. He could have come as a king, but he came in as a little baby in a manger, in a trough. And back then, the mangers were like, kind of like the probably was like kind of more like a cave, and the bed was a trough that they fed the animals in. And who knows, you know, it was probably an amazing sight to see. He accepts you. He accepts me just as we are. The story of Jesus' birth responds with music that has inspired composers for 2,000 years. And you think about all the Christmas music that we have and all the things that we sing and all of the glory that we give to God and all of those different songs for the season. Why we don't sing them all year, I don't know. But they're some of the most amazing songs about him, his goodness and his glory and his greatness and his excellence, and him being our king and how he came to be here in the humble way that he did. Lord God, help us to hold on to old customs and traditions. There's a lot of traditions in the Bible that were passed on, and a lot of things that they did year after year, feasts and festivals and all kinds of things, and just the Passover and you know, every Sunday, the first of the month, when we have communion, that is a tradition, and it's something that we do every month to remember what the Lord did for us. Traditions of Christmas, because they strengthen our family ties and they bind us to our friends, make us one with all mankind for whom the child was born, and bring us back again to the God who gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So today we're kind of focusing on traditions. Traditions, and then I'm going to kind of wrap it up with a little bit of something else. But we just want to thank you for being here, that we can bring the Lord into the center of our day.
That's my mama. And I'm in different pajamas, if you're all wondering, because bad girl. No, I'm kidding. No, I actually, it's kind of funny, because when we were planning, I had gotten my sisters and my sister-in-law put these pajamas from Old Navy last year on Angela's deals, you know, and I got, of course, my mom a gift, but it wasn't the pajamas. She found them this year, but I somehow, I'm like, oh, we should wear the matching pajamas we have, and then I'm like, oh, wait, mom doesn't have them, and then somehow in the conversation, I thought we were just all wearing Christmas pajamas, and we were wearing the pajamas, and apparently Ashley took mom to go get them, and so I showed up, and I'm like, what happened? I wasn't listening, so that's okay. But I just wanted to kind of go off of a little bit what my mom was saying, that we were going to talk today about traditions. I'm sure all of you guys have traditions in your families, and my husband's out there. Have traditions in your families. Now I'm nervous. I wasn't before, but go away. So I'm sure you guys all have traditions, and we get to share some of the ones that we grew up with. And we each picked one or two that we were going to share, and then share the deeper meaning behind why it was important to us. But I just wanted to read the definition of tradition in just a generic dictionary, and then a Bible dictionary definition of it. So the transmission of customs or beliefs from generation to generation, or the fact of being passed on in this way. And then the Bible dictionary definition is the process by which normative religious truths are passed on from one generation to another. So as Christians, we have a different focus in our traditions, and we try and find the meaning behind what we do and why we do it. And so traditions are, and this is not limited to these, but this is four things I was thinking of as we're thinking about being moms and we're passing these on. Traditions are repeated, they're purposeful, which I think is probably the main point, they're passed on, and they're learned. And they also create a sense of family, belonging, meaning, and they shape us. They're not the only thing that shapes us, but they shape and mold us, and then they help shape and mold our children. So they're actually very important and crucial in our lives. They also, as I was writing this and thinking about it, they enhance enjoyment in our purpose. So if our purpose is here to glorify God and to know Him and to glorify Him, they actually are like gifts from Him. Our traditions are here to enhance our enjoyment and in our purpose as we build traditions around the things that we value the most. Because if you think about it, why do we do them? There's something we value behind a tradition. Traditions teach us about things our parents valued. This could be something in a family that maybe it wasn't a good tradition because it actually did not go along with something like with the Bible, something that was more evil, depending upon what kind of a family you came from. And it's something you have to change once you come to Christ in your family. And I think most traditions are good, but I mean, just who knows, right? Who knows who has a tradition that's maybe based around something that wasn't a good memory for them. But for the most part, traditions are things that are our values and our morals. And then they taught me a lot about what my parents valued. And then we continue traditions with our own children. And as we do that, we're passing on that value. I wanted to read a little, actually, before I do that. So what do you, ask yourself, want to pass on? There's a message behind everything we do, or there should be at least. If there's not a message behind a tradition you're doing, why not? It might just be something as simple as, I've never thought about making that connection before. I've never thought about trying to find a message, a Christ connection or a gospel message in this tradition that I'm doing. So how can you make it a gospel connection for your kids? How can you make it a connection to even the traditions that you love? I saw a quote, and it's from Tim Chester, and it says, Jesus is for life, not just for Christmas. He's not just the reason for the season. He's the meaning of everything. He's not just the point of Christmas. He's the purpose of life. And that, I think, would be an awesome quote to kind of guide our Christmas traditions, because while they're still yet just for Christmas, they are for life.
So everything we do at Christmas time that's special to the season and of Christmas, we're trying to help our children understand as they grow older that this is for Christmas, this is for Christ's birth, but what is the bigger meaning behind the traditions that we do? It's because Jesus is for your life. He is the purpose why you are here. Deuteronomy 6, 20 through 25. It says, when your son asks you in time to come, so as our sons and daughters grow older, they're going to start putting pieces of the puzzle together. They're going to start asking us questions. And this is, says, when your son asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and grievous, against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from there that he might bring us in and give us the land that he swore to give to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are this day. And it was righteous, and it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do all the commandments before the Lord our God as he had commanded us. And I just kind of connected that to what we're talking about today as traditions, because that's one thing I think traditions do is we have to help those little questions come along in their minds, like, why do we do what we do? You know, and as they get older, like something as simple as what we're going to be talking about today, just very simple traditions that may not even in itself have a connection to Christ, because we know Christ and we know who he is, that meaning of just a Christmas light, a string of Christmas lights, can have a whole new meaning for our children when we make that gospel connection for them. And it's really important to help our kids see that and do that, because I think if we throw out traditions, or we just use them as traditions and don't make those purposeful connections, then we are wasting a gift that God's given us unintentionally, not on purpose. But if we learn to explain those traditions, like, oh, how our children will grow. And especially if it's accompanied with us praying for them. With that verse, traditions help us carry out telling the story of Christ to our sons and daughters. Don't waste the opportunity. We get to tell and show how God saved us from our sins. So this father's saying an example of how God saved them from Egypt. And we get to say an example to our kids and show an example to our kids all throughout the year, but also through traditions of how God saved us from our sins and how his birth was his coming to do that. One quote from Ruth Piper in her book, Treasuring God and Our Traditions. I have not read it, but I would trust her since she's John Piper's wife and he endorses it. I think I would probably endorse it, but I'm not sure. But the quote is very neat. It says, we reveal to ourselves and others what is important to us by the way we celebrate. And so I think joy and celebration in our traditions and explaining why we do what we do is a big part of that. So that's what we get to bring to you guys today. And before I turn it over to Ashley, who's going to go first, talking about a couple traditions that she remembers, I will just quickly share the list. Actually, Emily, can you hand me that paper really quick? We're not going to be sharing, of course, all of our traditions, but I wanted to read our list that we came up with, and there's more, but Christmas Eve service. At church, reading the Christmas story Christmas morning, cutting a Christmas tree, going on drives to look at Christmas lights, Christmas pajamas, hence the pajamas, Christmas baking day, and there's stories behind all these, and there's Christ connections for each one, because our mom purposefully did that for us. Gift giving, relating it to God's giving us gifts, helping dad put up Christmas lights and cocoa and toast, Christmas stuffing the night before Christmas and the smells that that brought to the house, Christmas movies, ornaments related to our year, cinnamon rolls that my mom would make for people in our church and still makes for us and our grandkids and her grandkids. I hope I don't have grandkids. And then we made another list that is much longer than this, but of new traditions that my mom didn't do these specific things. She did all those other things and more. But when you have a family and you have a husband and there's two of you and you make your own and you grow in your faith and things change in the world too, there's new traditions that are started. So like Operation Christmas Child, Jesus' birthday cake, every Christmas gingerbread houses, Ashley aunties doing Christmas parties, frosting sugar cookies like they did at my house last night, and I'm exhausted. and things like that that we add to it. So the as we're going to try and get the message across is that we have joy in getting in traditions because we use them as gifts to tell our kids about Christ's birth and his love and how it's bigger than Christmas. It's also about life. So now we're going to share our traditions.
Okay. So I have a little prop here. And I need to... And you plug it in. What? Okay. This is my prop. You can always tell what I'm going to talk about, or at least part of it. So, here we go. There. Okay. I love Christmas. And partially because of just the traditions that we had in our family. So one of the things that I loved was baking in the kitchen with my mom. And there were some, you know, every family has like their special recipe that they have, and nobody makes the cookies like grandma, or nobody makes the I don't know, the candy like mom. We all burn it, you know, because I do. I burn the candy. But some of the cookies that I liked were Swedish wafers. I don't know if you guys have ever tried those, but they are so good. And the thing I want to point out about these that you need to remember is that it's the simplest recipe in the world. Like there's like three ingredients, and then I think there's like two ingredients for the frosting, but they're delicious, but they take like all day to make, okay? Because you have to cut them out. And my mom didn't use a cookie cutter. She used a Play-Doh cutter because the Play-Doh cutters are smaller and these cookies are supposed to be small. And she still uses it. It's orange and it's ugly, but it works. Yeah, a Play-Doh box. Yep, so guess what I use? A Play-Doh cutter. The frosting's all different colors, and then you have to roll out the dough, cut it out, dip it in sugar, and then poke it with a fork, and then frost it, and then smash it with the other side. And I mean that takes a long time because they're like this big. So if you're doing a lot for a lot of people, I mean, they just take a long time. But you have to do them because they're so good. So that was one of my favorite ones. But then again, the recipe itself, though, takes like seconds to whip up because it's literally like two or three ingredients. She would make pretzel bark with us with white chocolate and then candied walnuts. So this is kind of funny. I really don't like them, but I make them because I like the memory that they bring. So other people eat them when they come to my house. I eat some of them, but I don't. They're not my favorite. But my mom loves them. They're like my mom's favorite. So hold on to that. And then my second favorite tradition was putting up Christmas lights with my dad. And he would always start by having us string out the lights, plug it in. Is there anything that's not working or whatever? But my dad is so funny because if there was a strand not working, he refused to throw it away. He would tell us to go through and to twist every bulb, and we did that. We spent hours doing that. And my mom would be like, why don't you just go to Fred Meyer and buy another strand of lights? And he'd be like, no, that I think it's good. It's good. We just need to find that one or whatever. And sometimes we did find it. And so guess what we do at my house? We go through, we find them, we twist all the bulbs, and we try to see why it's not working. So that, and then my dad... let me look here really quick. So one of the things that I love about my dad is how patient he is. Because when we were outside hanging lights with dad, we were probably making more of a mess for him to clean up. And my dad just loved us being out there with him. I never felt like I was a hindrance or a nuisance or annoying him or whatever we were doing. He was just out there having a good time putting up lights and we were all having fun, even if we were making more of a mess than than helping. So going back to, and again, simple, and I didn't even talk to you about this, but I was going to use that word with when I was talking, was simple, like being in the kitchen. It was a simple recipe. It was simple, just putting lights up with Dad. And I think the thing that I, as I grew older and I thought just deeper and my relationship with the Lord deepened and stuff, I realized that my parents, they gave us their love by giving us their time. And that was really important to me. And it's still important to me. They still do things like that. And because of that, I learned that Jesus loves to spend time with me. And I love to spend time with him because of that relationship that I had and that time spent with my parents. Sometimes we would talk about Jesus and sometimes we wouldn't. I don't have like a specific memory of like, oh yeah, I mean, that reminds me of my relationship with Jesus because my mom told me this in the kitchen that one time. I don't have a memory necessarily like that. It was just the time that they spent with us, possibly, probably, a lot of the time, talking about Jesus, but then other times just having fun and being silly. And, but it ultimately, I felt loved, and I felt like they cherished me and they loved me. And I think because of that, I feel, and I know, and it makes me sad for people that maybe didn't have that growing up, because I know that maybe that can be a hard connection with Jesus, because maybe they feel like Jesus looks at them like they're a bother, or that they're not maybe good enough, or things like that. But he doesn't view us like that, and he loves us, and he cherishes us, and he is there when we mess up to say, "Hey, don't worry about it. I'm gonna clean this up for you. We got this." He is not looking down on us and saying, "Oh boy, Ashley, yeah, you're on your own on this one. You can clean that up." You know, he is walking with us, and he wants to help us and be there for us. So I do have a few verses for you guys. 1 John 3 is the first one, and it says, 1 John 3, I'm going to start at verse 16. "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay our lives for our brothers and sisters. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts his own heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth." And my point in that is that, and my mom has told me this lots of times, but you can talk to your kids and you can cram the gospel at them and try to, teach them just like a lot of theology or whatever it is. But the time that you spend with them is what they're going to remember. They're going to remember what you did, what your traditions were, and that's what I remember. I remember the time that my parents spent with me and the things that we did. And then in that, they spoke truth into us. So I think that that's why those things meant a lot to me. Even though they were the most simple things, they taught me valuable truths. And then my last verse is Hebrews 13:5. "I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you." And I just made a little note that my God is gracious and he is faithful. And that reminds me of my dad, thinking back. My dad modeled, my parents, both of them, they modeled how to live for Jesus. And in that, I feel like my relationship with the Lord is similar to how I felt loved and cherished and how patient they were with me growing up.
I'm going to kind of talk about two things in one. A tradition growing up, and then one that we kind of tied in, a new one for our kids. So Christmas pajamas. Every year, we traditionally, I think people gave them on Christmas Eve. But my family, we gave them on Thanksgiving night, so that we could enjoy them the whole season. So that's just one way that we kind of tied two traditions into one in our family, bringing Josh and me together. So that's why we're all wearing pajamas. Now, in our family, with my kids, we brought in, I didn't bring him, but our little elf, everyone sees the elf on the shelf. I didn't bring him because they still hadn't found him when I left. But our elf, our elf brings the pajamas on Thanksgiving night. So he comes out for the start of the season, and he brings them their Christmas pajamas on Thanksgiving night. So that's kind of two that we tied together. One thing that we teach our kids through doing that is that, Jesus brought gifts, or Jesus was brought gifts when he was born from the wise men. So I think a lot of people tie in the gift giving with that. But our elf, you know, we tell our kids to be good because our elf is watching and he reports to Santa. But ultimately, like, Addie, my oldest, is 12 now, and so she understands a little bit better how we tie that into, well, God knows your heart, and he's always watching you. So we have fun with it at Christmas time, but it has a deeper, bigger meaning than just that. And I just have this that I'm going to read. This is from a devotion that I got. Childlike trust. When Jesus called for the children and said to the disciples, "Let the children come to me, don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." That's from Luke 18:6 through 17. The old adage that children should be seen but not heard didn't fly with Jesus. His disciples tried to keep the kids away from him so that he could deal with more important people. But Jesus opened their eyes to a very important fact. The children were closer to God's kingdom than any of the important people. Children have open, tender hearts that so easily trust and believe. They are less likely to criticize and be judgmental. They are less self-centered and usually very concerned about others. Jesus' comments that everyone must be like a child to receive God's kingdom is telling. As people mature, they become more cynical, and the drive to succeed makes them push others down so they are personally lifted up. There's not much love in that. Trusting God with a submitted, humble heart means you trust his grace-filled love. You believe him without question, and you follow his leading without fighting. Sometimes it feels like blind trust. Well, it is, except you know he will never let you down. There's a lot of love in that kind of trust that brings a lot of joy to your heart. So it's kind of, easy for kids to trust that Santa comes every Christmas and brings you gifts. And I think that kind of trust passes on to what it's saying, believing in Christ.
Okay. I am talking about some ornaments. But first, this is a little devotion book that we do with our kids. It's like one a day for 25 days, like an Advent. And we read this. This was December 6th, but that kind of went with what I wanted to share. It's called What's in a Name? A child will be born to us. God will give a son to us. He will be reasonable or responsible for leading the people. His name will be Wonderful Counselor, Powerful God, Father who lives forever, Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6. Have you ever seen a flock of sheep together? So this little book, it's a little shepherd. It's called The Shepherd on the Search, and the shepherd is like talking to the children. So it's through like a shepherd's eyes. Have you ever seen a flock of sheep together? I wonder if you could tell them apart. If you are not looking closely, they might all look the same. You might miss the little differences that make them each unique. Well, guess what? I can tell all my sheep apart. I spend so much time with them that I know each one really well. And you know what else? I give them a name that fits their personality. I think it makes my sheep feel special when I call them by their name. Doesn't it make you feel good when someone takes the time to learn your name? Your name is a big part of who you are and a big part of who God is too. Our names help make us feel special. And then there's little more things that go along with that. But when I read that, I thought, oh, like that is definitely something that would go along with what I want to share about ornaments.
every Christmas when we go cut our Christmas tree down and then we put it up in the house, the kids, we put their ornaments, we pack them in a shoebox. And so each kid, they don't get them all confused and fight over who's who. We write their names on their ornaments and then we put them in a shoebox. So they go get their shoebox and they're just so excited. They just are screaming and squealing about pulling them out. They haven't seen them for a year, so it's like brand new. And then they're like, oh yeah, I forgot about that one. And oh yeah, because I love this one. And they get them from, they get ornaments from us and grandparents from both sides, and sometimes each other, you know, like cousins and stuff. And but the thing about the ornaments that they receive are they're things that make them them. They're things that when we see in a store, we're like, I'm like, oh, that is so Jackson, you know, when I pick it up. And when they're opening their box of ornaments, and they probably don't even know there's the connection, you know, the right now verbally, but it'll be made over the years that when they're opening and they're pulling out the things, that it's things that make them who they are and that with their names on them, and it's things that make them feel special, most importantly, the things that they make them feel known. So when they go and they hang their ornaments on the tree, and that tree is up all year round, and they go and they gaze in it, they feel known. My parents, my grandparents, my teachers that's in Sunday school or whatever, the little fuzzy sheep that are on the tree, we got about 20 of them, but you know, like I, you know, they feel, it reminds them of, you know, of that memory or of, you know, who they are. And so I just had a few, I just wanted to share. And I think they have stories too. This is one of Jackson's favorites. He loves soccer, and his name's on the back, and that's probably his favorite ornament, but that's just Jackson. And Peyton, this is so cute. She got this last year, I think from my mom, but it's Campbell's soup, and there's three little kids in the bed, and when she was like a, you know, littler in her crib, the kids every morning would go jump in her bed, and they look just like that. And she's in the middle, but she loved this one. And this is one of my favorite ones. My mom got this for me. It's broken, but it says Coach 2006, and that's when I first started coaching volleyball and have been coaching ever since. And then Taylor, this is one of her favorites. It says Taylor's first day of school, little lunch box, first grade. And Joe, this is probably one of his favorites. It's a, wait, it's connected. Oh, wait. I love country music. Yep, Joe's country music. And then some of them tell stories too. So like this ornament, it's just princess ball, but when Joe and I were like in our second year of marriage, we got into a fight because I was like trying to be really Christmassy, like really early, and he was like, no, I don't do that until after Thanksgiving. And I was like, you are the Grinch. And I was like, so anyway, we actually did get into a fight because I'm like, but I love Christmas and I'm excited and you're like being like all rude. And so the next thing I know is like, I came home from work and he had this like hanging like in front of my, I don't know, somewhere, and with a note that said, I'm excited for Christmas. Oh. And
that's cute.
So it's just like, that one just feels like a story to me. And then, you know, Auntie Ashley does a little Christmas like thing every year with like all the cousins, and they make some. I have many pictures of them, and this is Nana Papa's pumpkin patch, all the cousins together. So just the love for their family. And then Ashley got this for Joe this year. It's a police car, but it crashed, and Joe said, well, actually, that's really good. That's really fitting for this year. And it says 2020, year of the riots. And Joe's like, I love that it crashed, because that's like perfect. And then like as you get older, you know, the kids start looking like, you start seeing ornaments in stores and you start thinking of others. And Addie comes skipping up to my house the other day and said, I saw this at Hobby Lobby and made it into an ornament for you. To Auntie Emmy from Addie, toss your hair in a bun, drink some coffee, and get it done. and like, it was cute. But when I, and you know, we have tons more, and every, you know, I feel like ornaments tell a story, and I feel like ornaments show our trees, can show who we are, and like, you know, what's important to us, and the things that God, like the talents that he's given us, you know. And every year when you pick that up, that ornament for your kids, and it's maybe what they're into at that time, but then they always look back and they're like, oh, I remember when I really liked that. But I think that like they feel known by their mom and dad, their grandparents, people who love them. And I think that we feel known. We love to feel known by our Heavenly Father. And we love to know that he knows us and he knows our hearts. And I feel like as an adult, sometimes when I see the tree, I can also think about, thank you, Lord, for giving, you know, me the passion to coach volleyball. Like, thank you for that gift. And thank you for giving, you know, Jackson so much energy. But thank you that there's something called sports where he can let it out, you know. And thank you that, you know, Taylor just has just such a sweet, sweet, kind heart. And sometimes her little ornaments are just little things like little mice that I'm just like, oh, that just looks like Taylor. I mean, I don't, just her sweet, sweet, her sweetness. And Peyton just, you know, she doesn't have very many. So the kids are always like, here, hang up some of mine, because she only has a few, you know, so far. But anyway, that was kind of my connection with a tree and ornaments and feeling known and getting to that your kids just feel like their moms and dads know them, and how the Heavenly Father knows all of us, even better than we know ourselves.
I'm going to tag on to Emily's ornaments, because I bring in, again, another side of things. So in my family, we did a very similar thing. My grandparents would get us ornaments every year, and we would hang them on the tree, and they all had a meaning, same thing, kind of like what was going on for the year, so... This was one of my favorites from Disneyland when we all got to go to Disneyland as a family. Mm-hmm. And then my mom, she does something different and new. So this is a new thing she kind of brought in. But she makes ornaments every year with the kids. So this year, we got this massive ball to put on the tree. But it's good. It actually doesn't even hang on the tree. It's too big. But it's kind of funny because it's to represent this year. So they each got a mask to put in it. And they each got the COVID virus to put in it. And they each got a little laptop computer that says visual learner and their grade and what school they go to.
That's cool.
And they got a roll of toilet paper and a fire truck because we were evacuated this year. And then... They put in here a little bottle. They put, so every year we go camping in the summer as a family. And so we always go to the beach. And so we collected shells and rocks and fun things when we were there. And so they each put a little bit of shells and rocks in here to represent our family vacation. So that was this year's ornament.
That's cool.
And then another thing that my family always did and that I do with our family is tree stockings. I don't really know where this came from. I don't know if I need to ask my mom, but each of us had a tree stocking and it goes on the tree and then there's a little something in it as well as your regular stocking. But this was mine when I was little. My mom cross-stitched it, which is coming back, you know.
Yeah.
And then another thing, we started this in my family when I was a little bit older, because I don't really know when it was, but I remember we did it. And so my parents do it with the grandkids, and then we do it at our house. It's the Christmas pickle. So the pickle doesn't go on the tree until it's hidden on Christmas morning. The kids have to go hide, and we hide the pickle, and then there's a special gift for the pickle winner. But usually it's like a game that they all can enjoy or something like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
And
I think it's a German tradition.
And I guess we tie it in because like we're Heinz 57, we have German. I don't really know. But the pickle is something we've always done.
All right. I get a talk again. I am going to talk about Christmas. Cocoa and toast. And so every year after we would
when we were little and we would be outside in the cold, usually in Oregon, putting up lights with Dad. My mom would come out and wave, and in her nice warm clothes, and but she would always say, like, when you guys come in, I'm going to have hot cocoa and toast for you guys. And we liked to tease her that she was inside, like, watching some soap opera or something. But that's not the truth. She was inside picking up after us, usually, and she was always getting our cocoa and toast ready for when we would come inside from Christmas lights. And then this also happened pretty much every time, which wasn't very often, but it snowed. And I'm sure a lot of moms do the same thing. But let me just tell you, as a grown adult now, that doing it for my children, the reason I keep doing that is because of the way that it made me feel. And the reason, the way that it made me feel was loved, cared for. It made me feel special. It gave my siblings and I something to bond over and have in common when we would come inside together and all get to enjoy something like that together. You know, as you get older, and something that I'm realizing as a mom is I actually think it's okay, like, to tell our kids why we're doing it. And so I don't think we have to be as humble to our kids because we have to teach them, you know? So to tell them, like, well, the reason why I'm doing this for you is because I'm such a servant. We would never say that to, like, someone on the street, right? But I actually think in the home it's okay to do that and to explain, like, when I do some things for other people, I don't say, I'm doing this for you, you know, making you a meal after you had your baby because I'm so much like Jesus and I want to love you through him, you know, and we don't say that. So we have to teach our kids, like, being, having humility and being humble. But at the same time, we need to teach them, help them make the connections between why we do what we do. And so it doesn't have to be every time, but sometimes we do explain to our kids, you know, mommy likes to make you cocoa and toast when you go out and play in the snow because I think about when you're out there how much fun you're having, but I also think about how you're cold and how when you come in, you know, your hands and your fingers and are going to be cold. And that, I'm not thinking about you because I'm doing that on my own and just because I'm your mom, which, yes, there's that partial instinct in us to care for you, but I'm doing that because, like, God is good to me. And the Bible tells me, like, I can do nothing good on my own. Nothing. Nothing good. Not even cocoa and toast. The thoughts of me, of the thoughts that I have of you being cold out in the snow, are from God. Those caring thoughts are from God. And so, like, I am so glad that he gives me those thoughts to tell you, to share with you. Because one day, if God gives you a family and that's what he has for your life, like, I want you to not just make your kids cocoa and toast because you're their mom or you're their dad, but I want you to do it because you realize that God has put in your heart the desire to think about others when they're outside and to not just do what you want to do when they're out there, but to do something for your husband, make him cocoa and toast as well, or a coffee. And so I am so grateful that God has put that in my heart to do. And I see him putting things in your hearts to do for other people. And then that way, when they connect that, like, oh, mom's hot cocoa and toast when I came in, like, she gave that, like, that glory is the Lord's. Like, she realizes that, like, he's the one that has in the first place even made her able to do that. So then when you see them do something kind for someone, you stop them and you say, what you just did, and we're really good at saying, that was so kind, thank you for doing that. But what if we went deeper and we went, that is, and you look for something closer to the cocoa thing when you've just talked to them, and you say, what you just did in sharing that, giving that one cookie that was left to your sister and not taking it for yourself, that was thinking about somebody else, just like mommy was thinking about you out in the snow coming in for hot cocoa and toast. And you know what? I think Jesus is working in your life. He's helping you because we're all sinners and we're all not good. And everything we do that's good, he gives us those things. And so when my mom would make us this, and we would come in and have these special times, as I grew older and studied God's word, and as my mom would speak about the Lord, I noticed her time in speaking about the Lord was important to her, because if it wasn't important to her, she wouldn't have shared it with me. And so every time she talked to me about God, every time she made a connection to the gospel or to scripture or why she was doing what she was doing, my mind went to not just I'm kind or that was special or whatever. It went to that she's being intentional about doing this because she's trying to tell me that God's important to her. So basically that's the story. It was just something so simple as cocoa and toast. And the other thing was, like, she would, every Thanksgiving, she would make turkey noodle soup with all the bones of the turkey and stuff. And we would have that the next day. And there is just something as moms that we know from, like, smells and sensory that brings warmth to our homes and comfort and security to our kids. And if we can even, like, ask the Lord, like, Lord, help me be creative in my thoughts about how, like, this meal could be something where I could give me a Bible story to go along with it, or give me something, you know, because when we do, and it doesn't have to be every time, it is also about fun, but I do think kids pick up on, why is mom so always talking about the Lord? Like, why is she always talking about God did this, or God is so good? Why is she always doing that? Because it means something to mom. You know, so someday, and we don't know what God's going to have for our kids. We're praying for them, but we don't know their plan. And so if there's a time where they're ever struggling or, you know, whatever it is, what are they going to remember about us with these Christmas traditions? What are they going to remember? Are they going to remember, you know, just the fun stuff? Or are they going to remember, like, mom did this because there was a deeper meaning, and Christ was showing through in that? And I'm glad that I had parents that did that for us, and definitely want to do that for my kids. And I hope, and you know, it's up to the Lord, pray for your kids that they see the connections, that they don't just see the surface level tradition, that they see the deeper meaning behind them, because ultimately it's God that's going to open their eyes to understanding the meaning. It's not themselves. We don't get to take credit for saying, like, oh, I totally understand that the love of Christ because of cocoa and toast. My mom, she gets credit for doing it. I don't get, but she doesn't get credit for what happened in my heart, in our hearts. And I don't get credit for saying, oh, I made the connection. It was given to me. It was given to you. It was given to our children. And so being constant prayer for our children to, when we tell them the connections, oh my word, how many years is it going to go by where, like, whoop, whoop, over the head, over the head, over the head, over the head. It's not in the heart yet. And so every year we're praying, every day, let that open their eyes. Let the blinders fall off. Let them see the true meaning of life, as the one quote I read earlier said. So then I just wrote a little thing, like, from a child's thoughts, and maybe I might be repeating myself because I kind of just went off, but from a child's thoughts, what if a child thought, my parents teach me that God is kind. My parents teach me he came to earth as a humble servant. They teach me that, and in Sunday school, I'm taught he wrapped a towel around his waist to wash dirty feet because he loved us. He was showing us we should be doing this as well. Might think a child, my mom is so kind, and so is Christ. My mom serves with joy, and so did Christ. My mom shows us love in her actions, and so did Christ. I know my mom thinks the child is not Christ. No, I know she's not perfect. But her teaching of Christ in the home and about Christ's kindness, care, and love and servanthood comes to life for me when I see her looking, acting, and talking like him. Cocoa and toast are not theological in and of themselves. Theology literally means thinking about God. But we moms need to see that while cocoa and toast doesn't necessarily jump out as topics of theology, when we help our kids draw the right connections through our traditions, something like cocoa and toast can be the catalyst to our children's thinking about Christ. Always be thinking about how to connect things to him. So that's just something that I learned growing up, and I think I've I've learned more just in my adult life and becoming a mom and wanting my kids, desiring deeper understanding for them in God. And we do. We have a lot of fun. We go look at zoo lights, and we put on, when we go through, we went to the zoo lights and we went through this big tunnel where the lights were just like going choo-choo-choo-choo-choo, like all the way down. So when we put on the Charlie Brown verse where he, in Luke, I think, where he was like, and the shepherds were in their fields, and he reads the whole thing. In the Charlie Linus, I think, is talking. And we were going through there listening to that, and like, I was like, oh my word, like, Lord, you just love me. You just love us. Like, do you ever just feel like you love me? Because you should. You should think that. Like, that's okay to do. Like, he's your God, you know? And we were going through, and like, right at the perfect times, the lights were changing with the music, and I was like, and behold, and it was like, da-da, you know, I was like, Lord, like, you're here in this tunnel with us, you know, and like, and then, you know, I look at my kids, and they're like, taking pictures with these huge honking cameras that they got the year before for Christmas, like, you know, of course they don't have phones or whatever, and I'm thinking as we're going through, they're like, is any of this, like, are they listening to this, or are they just, is it... But that's what we're fighting for them. We're praying, like, God, like, let one day when we go through this tunnel of lights, let them see, let the light of Christ be in them deeper, you know? And so it's things like that. And then, and I need to let my mom come. Are you coming one more time? Yeah, you are. But
at the very end.
But one thing that's been is really precious in our family is Advent, and we do have a book. I was going to bring it, but I forgot it. But we go through a book, and Greg leads our family through an Advent book, and it's wonderful. And the thing that's really cool about it is we're doing the same one we did last year, and there's space to write, and so it's like it allows you to have really bonding time with your kids, because it asks the parents questions first that you tell to your kids about things like traditions and things like that. So our kids are learning a lot more about us and our histories because of these prompting questions in this Advent. And then our kids are asked questions, and then we write them down. And it was really, really interesting, because last year, one of the questions was like, it was describing a wish, a hopeful, being hopeful and being wishful or something. And one of the questions was, if you could do anything right now, like just anything, your wish was going to be given to you, what would it be? And like a lot of our answers, especially my kids, but it was very superficial, you know, like last year, like I can't remember what they were right now, but like I would, and it was just, you know, toys or something superficial, right? Like I would go on this vacation or whatever. And it made me sad, but also glad, because God's using this time to really sharpen us and bring us back to what's the most important in life. But this year, Greg asked that question, and he didn't tell them their answers from last year, you know. And our kids like said, I want to have Christmas with my cousins. Mm-hmm. And I just want to have Christmas with my family. And I was like, that's really what the heart of it is not stuff. And I thank the Lord that we are going through this, because if it weren't happening, they probably would have said something superficial no matter how much teaching I'm trying to do to them, because they're kids. And that's okay too. It is okay. You don't have to have, you know, a 20, 30, 40, 50-year-old's perspective when they're 2 through 10, and that's okay. And when we answer with toys, we're like, that would be so fun, you know, that's fine. But because this is life, and Christ is life, and they're, I just thank the Lord that we were able to say, wow, like, this is what your answers were last year, and this is what's really important to you this year. And God has used this time to help you see also like what you really value. And I'm really glad that you value people and Jesus. So that's it.
So we talked about traditions a lot and how important they are. They build bonds. And then you get to the point where I am, and you're starting to see a legacy. Starting to see a legacy. And I see some fruit. lots of fruit. And it's really neat to get to this point and to hear those things. The legacy will be passed down to their children and their family values, and they'll pass them on to their children and so on, just as God told the Jews in Jerusalem. You 11:18-20, you shall therefore impress these words of mine on your heart and on your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall teach them to your sons, talking of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall write them on the doorsteps at your house and on your gates. So traditions are a way of passing stories and faith and customs and onto the next generations. And these things make your children feel secure, and it makes them feel safe, and it makes them feel loved. Because along with all those things come boundaries, and boundaries are part of it too. You have to have boundaries, because boundaries is what they cry for and what they need all the way through. Children love smells, like they were talking about, and they're going to remember the smells of the Christmas tree. And I can remember when I would run home from school and the windows would be steamed up in the house. It would be winter in Lebanon, Oregon. And I knew my mom was cooking brown beans, because whenever she made brown beans and meatloaf, the windows were steamed up when I came home, and I'd open that door and I could smell those beans. And to this day, I cook brown beans and they cook brown beans, and your house smells like brown beans. And it's just those things, those little tiny things that you think are meaningless, but they're not. You're imprinting things upon their lives and their hearts, and you're passing on a legacy. I brought this one because this has been in my Bible for years and years. Ashley made this in Sunday school, and they laminated them.
My word, I still color like that.
Glory to the highest. Luke 2:14. These things are treasures to me, because this is part of teaching her about the Lord. And this is important to me, and she knows it's important because it's in my Bible. I have scans of all my grandbabies. And from that moment, I get that scan. It goes in there, into that verse, where you were formed in the womb. And those babies are being prayed for, even before they're born. And this is one legacy that I have that I want to show you. My grandmother, she passed away when she was 72. And it was in 1983... I went down there when she passed away, 1983. Melissa was like one, and I took her with me, and she would be really old now. That was in 83, and she was 72, so wow. This she kept in her Bible, and I don't undo it very often, but this was always in her Bible. It was her hanky. She called it her hanky, and this is a legacy to me, because I don't really have a lot from my grandmother. We used to play bingo on TV or on the radio. They'd have bingo games, and I'd play those with her. But this is her hanky, and I always will keep this in my Bible until one of you remove it. And I don't know. You can fight over it. They probably won't want it. But anyway, yes. So we're just talking about you get to this point, and you go from traditions to legacy. They're still in traditions, but I'm in the legacy. So thank you for being patient with us. I know we can just talk, and people are like, oh, there's Buller girls. Go the other way. They'll never get away from us. So let's just end this with prayer. And we're going to sing a song. We thank you, Lord, for this time together. We pray that they can take some little crumb home. We pray, Lord, that you would just be glorified in our lives and in our families this day and every day, Lord, and we just treasure you, and we are so thankful, Lord, for you loving us and dying on the cross for us and preparing a place for us someday. And we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're going to end it with a song, and then we'll get in our groups.
All right, we have a special song we're going to sing for you guys, because we want to bring it back to what it's really about. And we thought that this was a nice song because... Well, I'm gonna
because this is the mom's group. They have children. And this is a song between Mary and this is a song that Mary sang to Jesus. Well, it, you know, somebody wrote it, but you know, she's probably thinking this. So we're gonna sing this for you. It's called "You're Here." You might have heard it on the radio, but yeah, it's just a really special song. It when I hear it on the radio, I just love to just listen to it because just having a newborn is just really, really special. Oh no, I can't talk about it.
No.
Now gotta take a deep breath. I don't know what to say when I look in your eyes. You made the world before I was born, and here I am holding you in my arms tonight. Noel, Noel, Jesus, sorry man. Change the world. Look at your hands, they're still so small. Someday you're gonna stretch them out and save us all. Noel, Noel, God with us, amen. God became a baby boy. Someday you're gonna go home again, but you'll leave your spirit and flood the world with joy. You're here.
I'm holding you so near. Your